I'm Bill Hemmer, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, June 21st, 2018. I'm Dave Anthony. Will controversy over anti-Trump text in the FBI help the president's defense against the special counsel?
We can deal with anything they throw at us because we've got the truth on our side. More than you realize.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. After facing massive protests, President Trump does a 180 on his policy of separating illegal immigrant families at the border.
It's quickly becoming apparent that the White House is losing and losing big on this very quickly.
I'm Judge Andrew Napolitano, and I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Peter Strzok has become a lightning rod for Republicans. An FBI agent escorted out of headquarters last week, still under investigation for the anti-Trump text messages he and others exchanged during the 2016 campaign, as Strzok investigated Hillary Clinton's emails while Secretary of State, and then helped start the Trump campaign Russia probe.
These agents were calling her president before she was even interviewed. They were calling for the end of the Trump campaign before the investigation even began. They were calling for impeachment simply because he happened to be elected.
GOP Congressman Trey Gowdy, as the Justice Department's Inspector General, testified for 2 days on Capitol Hill about his report on the Clinton investigation.
We found the implication that senior FBI employees would be willing to take official action to impact a presidential candidate's electoral prospects to be deeply troubling.
But Michael Horowitz upset Republicans with his conclusion that despite all that anti-Trump, pro-Clinton sentiments,
we did not find that the prosecutor's decision not to charge was the result of political bias.
GOP Senator John Kennedy was incredulous.
General, do you believe in the tooth fairy?
Nope.
Do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
Nope.
So Kennedy asked, why would you believe all that bias was not a factor in the decision? Horowitz acknowledged
it impacts the credibility of the handling of the investigation.
But Democrats seized on Horowitz's conclusion, saying Republicans refuse to believe the facts. They also think former FBI Director James Comey, whom Horowitz found acted in an insubordinate way, cost Clinton the election, reopening the probe that October. And Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy took aim at the president's assertion that the IG report clears him.
But there's nothing in the report that says it exonerates the president from any question of collusion with the Russians. It says nothing one way or the other. Is that correct?
We did not look into collusion questions.
This as Republicans continue to spar with the Justice Department, demanding Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein turn over more documents. He said last month,
yeah, there have been people who have been making threats privately and publicly against me for quite some time. And I think they should understand by now the Department of Justice is not going to be extorted.
Republicans claim Rosenstein threatened to investigate them. Meanwhile, Special Counsel Robert Mueller continues his Russia investigation, and Trump attorney Michael Cohen remains under scrutiny in New York. He was raided by the FBI back in April and is in a battle with prosecutors over what documents he can keep sealed. Cohen's the one who paid Stormy Daniels to not talk about her alleged sexual encounter with the president years before he was elected. Her attorney, Michael Avenatti, has predicted Cohen will be indicted and told CNN.
And I also predicted that ultimately he would flip on the president because he would not be left with a choice. And I'm going to hold to those predictions. And I think ultimately that's exactly what's going to happen.
Cohen's reportedly hired a new lawyer. We discuss all this with Rudy Giuliani, one of President Trump's attorneys who's emboldened by the FBI anti-Trump text controversy and the IG's report.
Well, he came very close in the 2 times that he testified before Congress to basically saying that the better interpretation is that they were extremely biased.
He said there was a cloud.
Yeah, I think, well, that's the same thing, right? That allows me to draw the conclusion they're biased. And if there's any doubt, they shouldn't be involved in the investigation. So that's what I worry about now. They've got two of those people still left on the Mueller team who were texting like that. I don't think that's been made clear to people. Those people should be identified. We should find out what they've done in that investigation And before that investigation is allowed to go forward, they should be removed. And if they're not, the investigation should be wound up and they should be all thrown out.
And the president has tweeted over and over again about the Mueller team and a bunch of people who are Clinton supporters on his team or Obama supporters on his team.
So why would Mueller, if he wants to be fair, this really perplexes me. I don't have a good answer for the president. Why would Mueller hire all these people who want to stop him, kill him, destroy him, cried when Hillary lost? I mean, if you cried when Hillary's lost, you've got to find another job than being a prosecutor or an FBI agent.
But Mueller, they say, Democrats will point out, well, he's a Republican.
That doesn't matter. I mean, there are a lot of Republicans that are pretty screwed up. I don't know if Mueller's screwed up or not, but his judgment is kind of his judgment has to be cast into question when he hires somebody that, first of all, Peter Strzok, we know what he's about now. He's just been thrown out of the Justice Department.
And he's off the team. He's been off the team for a while.
Nah, but he was there from the beginning.
Right.
That's the key part. Why did this investigation start in the first place? I think it's a totally inappropriate, illegitimate investigation from day one. And I think anything that comes out of it will be tainted, will be fruit of the poison tree.
You came on with the goal of getting this investigation with Special Counsel Mueller wrapped up. But here we are.
Yeah, I might get it killed.
Middle
That'd
of June.
Be better.
And here it's still going.
But I never thought I'd get it done. I always thought we'd be lucky if we got it done by September and before the November election. The Don thing has fallen apart. I don't know if they realize it's a sinking ship. I mean, with Strzok, with his girlfriend Paige, with five other agents. How about the agents who took gifts and took things of value in order to give out confidential information? If that doesn't sink an investigation, nothing will.
What has your correspondence been with Robert Mueller?
It's not – well, it's my office and his office. We've only been involved in one long meeting together.
Was it cordial?
Cordial. After all, we're fighting over this document, that document. How long is the interview going to take? How many subject matters? We're not fighting over these issues. He won't tell us anything about. I mean, he says he's not going to tell us anything about the background of his people. We've had to dig that out ourselves.
But he is.
I don't think he wants to talk about the background of his people. That terrible. One guy has been censured by the Justice Department so often to make your head spin.
He had sent a list of questions, right, that he wants answers to.
Yeah.
Where's that process for the interview?
That process is held up by the incredibly difficult questions raised by this report and by the revelations of indescribable bias on the part of the people he relies on.
So what will it take for you to say, okay, I'm satisfied, let's move forward with, you can sit down with the president?
Total transparency about who's there. What their background is, what they've let them give up all their emails and texts. Let's see what they said. Were they Strzok people or were they fair and impartial prosecutors? If you have to do it, take them all out and put neutral people in.
Congressman Gerald Nadler at the Horowitz hearing, day two of him on the Hill, said you are increasingly unhinged and that this report does not exonerate President Trump as Republicans are claiming. Your response?
Okay. There's no response. The guy, come on.
I mean, you know him.
Yeah, I know him. It doesn't mean I take what he says seriously.
So you don't think the Democrats are being serious on this?
Oh, I think they're being deadly serious. I think they want to impeach him. They think they're going to get Congress by doing that. I mean, they don't care about the country. I mean, they're exploiting this for every political thing it's worth. Fortunate for us, they're on a sinking ship. They're with a bunch of crazy zealots like themselves.
Democrats will point out, look, the former chairman, Paul Manafort, is in jail.
Yeah, but
so there is something to this.
No, there isn't. What this could very well be the stormtrooper tactics that happen when you have this kind of overwhelming zealotry. Look, when we said this was a witch hunt, they all said the same thing. Now Horowitz is agreeing it was a witch hunt. He agreed right in Congress and in the Senate. And he's a Democrat.
And he is investigating. He did confirm in the hearing with the House that he is investigating these texts still.
I guess he's unhinged, right?
All right. So what should we look for next, in your opinion, for this Mueller investigation? What has to happen next?
The investigators need to be thoroughly investigated. That is more important than anything right now, because the integrity, really, of the Justice Department and the FBI is at stake. I think the investigation has no integrity. I don't think any is left of it. Remember, the other thing that this investigation is based on, if it's not based on Strzok, it's based on Comey. Comey has sunk. I mean, that ship is gone.
The president has said he's a criminal. He did criminal things.
Well, I don't know. The leaking of an FBI 302 is a criminal thing. That's virtually undisputed.
Democrats don't like him that much either. They think he cost her the election.
He may be, what do they call that, just a sort of a sacrifice that everybody can agree to. Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, by the way.
Michael Cohen. There's talk that he might step forward and start talking.
I think Michael Cohen is not going to do that because I don't think there's anything to do it about. I have no worries at all about that. Notice I haven't talked about it very much, except when they make accusations about us, I fight back very quickly. They're almost a sideshow. Unfortunately, Michael Cohen, who's a good man, is collateral damage in this situation. If the whole ship sinks, his case goes with it.
President Trump talked about him to you much?
He's not been indicted yet, by the way. From the point of view of concern about him personally and what they're doing to him, as well as a lot of other young people. I mean, the president is heartbroken that these people have been tortured. I mean, 30, 40, 50 people have been interviewed and have to get lawyers and have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars.
We spoke to Michael Caputo, and he was very upset.
He's ruined.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll come back. Michael should not feel, neither Michael shouldn't feel that they're ruined because they're going to be vindicated ultimately. But it shouldn't have to be like this, and this should never happen again. We need somebody in the FBI and we need somebody in the Justice Department that will not sell out the way the Obama people did.
Rod Rosenstein, you think he's going to – is there going to be a push to get him out?
I'd like to push him to clean this out and interview every one of these people working for Mueller.
And if he refuses?
I would like them to turn over all their texts. What they've been texting to each other about – not all their texts, all their texts about Trump.
And again, if he doesn't do that, would you support Republicans trying to get rid of him?
I would not play into their hands and fire anybody right now. This investigation should get over first, and then we can deal with anything they throw at us because we've got the truth on our side. More than you realize. And that's why it's fallen our way. However, we can't deal with all this crazy comparison to Watergate and the hysteria that the Democrats – the only reason the Democrats get away with it is because they got 70-80% of their media, you know, covering the silliest things. Where are they reporting that the Mueller investigation is falling apart?
Rudy Giuliani, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Judge Napolitano with your Fox News commentary coming up.
It reached a fever pitch, the images and the sounds led to an outcry over children being separated from their families after they crossed the border illegally. The president's zero tolerance policy meant everyone entering the country illegally would be prosecuted, which meant detaining parents separate from their children, who were put in converted warehouses and other facilities. More than 2,000 children were separated. After blaming Democrats repeatedly, President Trump shifted yesterday, signing an executive order to keep families together during criminal proceedings for illegal entries, calling on a federal judge to extend the time families can be detained together.
Ivanka feels very strongly. My wife feels very strongly about it. I feel very strongly about it. I think anybody with a heart would feel very strongly about it. We don't like to see families separated. At the same time, we don't want people coming into our country illegally.
So what happened? Why the about face?
It's clear that the White House was being inundated with political pressure.
John Roberts is Fox's chief White House correspondent.
And not just political pressure from Democrats, the corner that you would expect it from, but from a lot of Republicans who were saying, we've got to do something about this. The president was also hearing from his wife and from his daughter, Ivanka, about this as well. But it really is the fact that the White House was quickly getting on the losing side of an issue that they thought would be a winner. And so the president thought that he needed to take some action. Now, as to whether or not this is actually action, right, is up to a district court judge in the Central District of California, because what the president is doing is he is asking the Department of Homeland Security to detain children together with their parents indefinitely. And in 2015, a federal district judge, Dolly G, ruled during the Obama administration, after saying that children were being held during the Obama administration in widespread deplorable conditions, that children could not be held by DHS any longer than 20 days. So what the president has done is he has dispatched his attorney general to go to Judge G and say, listen, for the sake of keeping children together with their families while they're detained for immigration proceedings, we'd like you to rescind that part of the order and allow children to be held longer than 20 days.
Homeland Security says the president's action helps them prevent the separation of illegal alien families while encouraging Congress to find a long-term solution to, as they put it, close loopholes that have resulted in catch and release. In the meantime, they say they will do what is possible to hold illegal border crossers accountable while also holding families together as long as the law allows, but that the only solution is for Congress to authorize detention and prompt removal for illegal families and minors.
The only thing that matters right now is when the Attorney General goes to Judge Dolly G and says, can you please modify this consent decree and allow children to be held in detention for longer than 20 days? If she says yes, then this thing goes ahead, but it will likely be challenged in court by organizations like the ACLU and others. But if she says no, this thing is dead right out of the box.
We heard a lot leading up to all of this about the politics and the optics here impacting midterms. How much of a role do you think that played for both parties?
You know, I think the president thought that he had a winning issue here. And it is really kind of surprising how last week when we were in Singapore, nobody was talking about this, but suddenly it's become the number one issue in the nation. I mean, obviously this was this became a political hot potato very, very quickly. But I think that the administration thought that it had a winning issue on its hands, saying we're enforcing the law here. We've enacted zero tolerance. They were really looking to use this as, despite what anybody is saying, they were looking to use this as a lever on Congress to get them to move, to say, if you don't like the situation on the border, then it's up to you to do something about it. But it's quickly becoming apparent that the White House is losing and losing big on this very quickly.
Zenon Jaimes Perez with the Texas Civil Rights Project says they have collectively interviewed roughly 350 adults, many of whom have had their children removed.
Many of them are distraught, not knowing where their children are. I've spoken to mothers and fathers who have said that they don't know what else to do but take their own life because they don't know what the future holds for them. So those are the, and you know, throughout this whole process, most of them are crying, are not looking me in the eye, are just hunched over trying to talk while, you know, everything is going on around them. And that's the conditions that we're finding people in.
Do you think this executive order will result in any changes that families will be kept together?
It's a deflection. What we know is that, you know, that what they're saying is that we will reunite people as they go through their immigration proceedings. What that means is that they will be put in immigration prisons together, which, you know, that's not a good place for families. But what we do know is that they will be separated while their parents go through a criminal court. That could be a couple of days as well. So the separation is going to happen there, and then they will be in prison together. The central problem with the zero tolerance policy of mass and blanket prosecution that's already overwhelming federal courts, and this is already such a burning hole in the Department of Justice's budget. And so if that's going to continue, this crisis is still going to continue.
Have you ever seen, I guess, the number of media calls you've gotten over any issue? Have you ever seen a reaction by the public over an issue like this?
You know, we've had a lot of support come in. We've had thousands of people reach out to us with money, time to volunteer. People have even been sending us cookies to try to help, which I'm very grateful for. And I have not been off the phone the last couple of days just trying to explain what is happening, because I sort of see that there's just so much confusion that was intentionally created in the system to try to, you know, confuse people and people who are watching. And so, you know, I'm happy to be on the phone and talk to people, but this is way above the level I've ever done.
Leading up to the president's executive order signing, we collectively witnessed what I heard one person describe as a tsunami of outrage. Protests erupted in cities across the country.
Stop repeating history. You know, it's happening in World War II. It's happening again. Happened in Nazi Germany. This kind of stuff has to stop.
Michael Wilds is an immigration attorney, and not just any immigration attorney. He represented Melania Trump.
We should not be quarantining our children from parents. The inhumanity of what we see is reminiscent of detention centers, of Nazi Germany, of the slave trade. We can do better when we try to figure out this problem.
I talked to Ted Johnson, senior editor at Variety Magazine, about all of the reaction. I would estimate about 90% of my social media feed was filled with articles and outrage over the family separations.
I attribute that to a number of things. I think, first of all, there have been images that have been out there. Once that happens, I think it creates kind of a different type of emotional connection to viewers or to users looking at stories on the internet, as well as the audio recording. But also the media coverage of the issue just escalated in the past few days toward the end of last week. And that undoubtedly made a big difference.
As you said, it really seemed to bring something out in everyone. I saw people calling other people, you know, Nazis, and saying this is what happened to the Japanese with internment camps. Have you seen anything quite like this, where we're likening things to those historical moments? I think the closest I've ever seen was some of the reaction to the election in 2016, but this seemed to hit a different, I guess, pitch or reach a different place.
Yeah. And that's, I've seen it before, especially the comparison to Nazis. I mean, you see that almost every week. It's just part of the rhetoric, I would say, of social media. It's kind of what you're going to face these days. But I guess I didn't see it to quite the fever pitch that we saw. We saw just in the past few days. I mean, the most recent comparison was the Charlottesville violence that weekend.
Oh, right.
I think there was a lot of comparisons back then, but not to the level where you would have people who normally don't talk about politics chime in on this. She wasn't using that rhetoric, but I thought it was very interesting once that First Lady Laura Bush issued a statement on this on Sunday night. And I don't recall her getting much in the political fray at all, whether when she was in the White House or even after.
Do you think, Ted, the president was swayed by all of this outrage?
I do think he was. We know that he follows the media very closely, that he is sensitive to the reaction, what the media is reporting. Often it is in the form of pushing back against what the media is saying.
Ted Johnson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Download Living the Bream with Shannon Bream.
I don't think as long as Donald Trump is the president, anything's going to slow down. We have material and stories and excitement every single day.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcast.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Judge Andrew Napolitano.
What's on your mind?
This week in the continuing saga of the dispute between the Congress and the Department of Justice, we're confronted with a likely subpoena from the House Intelligence Committee to the Federal Bureau of Investigation looking for copies of documents in the files of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Now, think about what that means. Mueller was appointed to investigate whether or not there was Russian influence in the presidential campaign in 2016 and whether or not the Trump administration or the Trump campaign invited or participated in any of that influence. And the House Intelligence Committee is looking for copies of active files in this criminal investigation. Question: can politicians in the Congress seek documents in an active, ongoing criminal file? The general answer is no, because if that could happen, they could share those documents with the people being investigated. In this case, the President of the United States, and then he'd be treated differently than any other defendant or potential defendant, as if he were above the law rather than the need to comply with it. So what can the FBI keep from the Congress? It can keep materials that are privileged. What's privileged? Materials that went before the grand jury. Materials that show the thought processes of investigators and prosecutors, and materials that were developed from confidential sources. The law says the FBI and the Department of Justice are not supposed to reveal those things. Where'd the law come from? Congress wrote it. Congress has to be subject to the laws that it wrote, just like the rest of us. What will happen to this clash? A judge will decide it. The Congress will subpoena the FBI. The FBI will go to the court to get the subpoena quashed. And a federal judge will end up looking at these documents and decide who should get them. Better the rule of law than the rule of public opinion. Public opinion is a reed that moves with the wind. The rule of law is a rock that keeps us free. Judge Andrew Napolitano.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.